Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Lord's house, Romans chapter number 6 tonight. And you know what? The Lord proves me wrong many, many times. Amen. And thank the Lord for the good song tonight. Thank the Lord for the good spirit it was sung in. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord for that. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. And I want to give you some thoughts here tonight out of these 23 verses. And if the Lord will help me, I'm gonna try to cover the whole chapter tonight and give you some things out of it. We talked about sin really for the past 2 weeks, and I want to talk to you about this thought tonight: dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Romans 5, 6, and 7, probably the greatest preacher that I've ever heard on Romans 5, 6, and 7 is Brother Milton Taylor. And if you've never heard him preach faith, facts, and feelings out of Romans 5, 6, and 7, I promise you, you're missing a blessing. A lot of you here has heard him preach that. He's preached it here at the church a couple different times. He just expounds Romans 5, 6, and 7 unbelievably. Man, it's wonderful. But anyway, just very briefly tonight, Romans chapter number 5, we learn about sin entering into the world, and we learn that it came by one man, but we also learn that by one man we can have the forgiveness of sin. Romans chapter number 5, we see grace. He said in verse number 15, but in Romans chapter number 5, verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, watch this, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, that abounded unto many. Now watch verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of what? Grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Watch verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, watch this now, grace did much more abound. And yes, there is a lot of sin in chapter number 5, but thank God there's more grace in chapter number 5 than there is sin in chapter number 5. Amen? And thank God for grace. And I want to pick up in chapter number 6, I want to talk to you about being dead to sin, but alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you the reason a lot of people sin today: because they want to. That's the reason they do it, because they want to. Let me tell you the reason man goes and gets drunk tonight: because he wants to. Let me tell you the reason man cheats on his wife tonight: because he wants to. Let me tell you the reason a woman cheats on her: because he wants to, or she wants to. It's a want to sin. And I want to talk to you about this tonight, that we are dead to sin. And I'm going to show it to you out of the Bible tonight. We're dead to sin. Can I say something to you tonight? Now don't look at me cross-eyed. You don't have to sin. You don't have to sin. I remember, and you've heard me say this before in 18 years, heard me say it several times. I remember I hadn't been preaching long at all, and my Pa Barker was still alive at the time. Matter of fact, if you go back 6 generations, you know what my 6th great-grandpa's name was? Hezekiah. And Daddy always picks about going to the book of Hezekiah, and you say, "Hey, you know that? Frost told me." And you say, "How's Frost know that?" Because he showed it to me on the computer. He done my ancestry. And Hezekiah was my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa, all right? And I don't know why you needed to know that, but I just found it was interesting that Hezekiah was his name. And I think that if the next child Leslie has, his little boy, we'll name him Hezekiah. But watch this. I'm not going to say that's not going to happen, because sure as I do, Brother Brian, Hezekiah will be here. But anyway, let's get back in the Bible. I don't even know what I was talking about now. Here's what my grandpa told me. Here's what he said. He said, "It's been a long time since I willfully sinned." And I said, "Pa, what are you talking about?" I said, "You can't live a life without sinning." He didn't say I lived a life without. He said, "I didn't say I live a life without sinning. It's been a long time. I can't tell you the last time that I willfully sinned. Well, I wanted to argue with him, but I had more sense than to argue with him. Are you with me? So I went home and went digging on that. And you know what he was saying? He was saying this: there's a difference in sinning and willfully sinning. There's a lot of people, therefore to him knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him it's what? It's sin. They know if they do that, it's sin, and they willfully indulge in that. We do not have to live a life of sin today. We can live a life of freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, watch with me. Verse number 1 of Romans chapter number 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are, look what he says, dead to sin live any longer therein? He said, how shall we that are dead to sin? Now, I understand that he is posing a question after that, live any longer therein. But the beginning of that is a statement. That's not a question. Paul says, you, if you're born again, chapter number 5, we've experienced grace. We've been saved by the grace of God. I'm preaching to the saved man tonight. Now that grace is abounded to us, according to the Bible, what did he say? He said, how shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? We're dead to it tonight. A matter of fact, he goes on in verse number 11 and he says that we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, I want to talk to you just a little bit tonight about being dead to sin, but alive in God. Father, I love you tonight. I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you'd help us to rightly divide the word of truth. God, I pray, Lord, that we get an understanding from it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me show you three or four things tonight. Number one, the demand for a new direction. There is a demand for a new direction. We see it in verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Paul addresses a potential misunderstanding of grace. Does grace give us a license to sin? You know, a lot of people says this, oh, you're one of those eternal security people that thinks you can live your life any way that you want to. No, that's not what eternal security is. That shows that their ignorance to the Word of God is what it does. And what Paul is saying here, does grace give us, now that we have the grace of God abounding to our life, we know 1 John 1:9, if we confess him, he's faithful and just for us. Does grace give us a license to sin? Well, he answers it. He says, how shall we continue in sin, or what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The demand for a new direction. What does he say? God forbid. God forbid. Hey, look, if you go out and you commit a sin just because you know God will forgive you for that sin, he says, God forbid that we would do that. Matter of fact, just to be real honest with you and give you some barkerology tonight, I have a problem with your salvation if you do that. I don't even know if you're truly saved if you do that. How shall we do that? There's a demand for a new direction. Now, think about this, God forbid. Whenever you study it out in the Greek, if you'll go home and use your blue letter Bible and look at that, here's what it means. God forbid, the word forbid means this: may it never be. May it never be. You know what he's saying? That should never be in your life. There is a demand for a new direction. A demand for a new direction. Think about this. Imagine being freed from prison only to ask, can I go back in? Well, we'd be crazy to do that, would we not? We'd be crazy to. I'm telling you right now, if I end up in prison, I have no intentions of it, but if I do, when I get out, I'm not going to say, hey, I sure would like to go back in there and stay a few more nights. And you know, here's what has happened. According to the Word of God, we have been freed from the bondage of sin. We've been freed from the imprisonment of sin. A lot of people say salvation is bondage. Salvation is freedom tonight. And to go back to that is like a prisoner saying, put me back in prison. That's what continuing in sin looks like to the believer. Grace is not permission to sin. It's power to live free. Can I say that again? You might want to write that down. Grace is not permission to sin. It's power to live free. I want to ask this question. Has grace changed your direction or just changed your destination? Has grace changed your direction or just your destination? If we will allow the grace of God to work in our life, there is a new direction because of grace now. What did grace do? Grace forgave me of my sins. What did grace do? Grace freed me from the bondage of sin. What did grace do? Grace set me free and changed my direction. And because of that, I should no longer return to a life of sin. Number one, the demand for a new direction. Number two, watch this. I told you I'm going to try to preach a whole chapter tonight. Number two, watch this. There's the depiction of our death. There is the depiction of our death. Look with me in verse number 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. He gives a depiction of our death. Paul speaks of a spiritual baptism, and this illustrated in the water baptism that we have today. It's a union with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We're no longer who we were. Our old identity died in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say that again? Our old identity died in the Lord Jesus Christ. What did He say? Buried with Him that we should walk in newness of life. Just as a burial declares someone is truly dead. You know what baptism typifies tonight and depicts? It depicts this. I'm saved by the grace of God. The grace of God has abounded unto me. I've accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. I'm dying to an old man, and I'm raised again, a new man in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us a picture of that. We died to the old man. The man I used to be, I'm not anymore. Why? Because I died to him. You say, how'd you die to him? In the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the problem with everybody trying to do it themselves. Well, I'm gonna find me a new life. I'm going to get myself straightened out. And after I do that, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. You'll never get your life straightened out. You will have to die to you. Amen. And you have to be quickened, made alive. You'll have to die to yourself and raise a new man in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, watch this. There's the deliverance from dominion. And I'm headed somewhere, and I want to center in on these next couple things. The deliverance from dominion. Look in verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You're a servant of somebody today. You're either a servant of the Lord or you're a servant of sin. It goes on to say in verse number 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. You say, preacher, what does that mean? It means exactly what it says. You know what Brother Taylor would say? He'd say, the word of God means what it says and says what it means. You know what it says? It says what it means and means what it says. I am freed from sin. I do not. If you'll get a hold of this, if you'll get a hold of what I'm preaching to you tonight, it'll change your life. I do not have to live a life of sin. Why? Because I'm freed from it, man. I died to that old man. I raised a new man in the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say in verse number 8? Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For if in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto what? He liveth unto God. The deliverance from a dominion. The old man, our pre-salvation self, was crucified with Christ. Matter of fact, what did Galatians say? Galatians said this, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying, boy, I died to myself. There is a deliverance from the sin dominion that once had a rule over my life. How does that come? It comes through Christ. Sin's dominion is destroyed. Now, listen to what I'm fixing to say. Not its present, but its power is destroyed. The presence of sin will always be here. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Listen to me. I do not have to live a life of sin. I do not, Brother Aaron, have to have my family busted up. I do not have to have my marriage busted up. Let me tell you the reason why. I'm dead to sin. It does not have dominion over me. Now, its presence is still here, but it's up to me who I will yield myself to. I hope I just didn't lose you. It's up to me who I... Well, I'm going to tell you what. You know, the devil made me... No, the devil didn't make you do nothing. You chose to do it. You chose... Boy, the devil put that one in my path and it made me fall. No, you chose to fall to that. Christ's resurrection seals the final victory. Death has no more dominion over him or over us. Listen to this. A dethroned king may still speak, but he no longer rules. Sin may tempt, but it no longer reigns in our life. Some of y'all didn't come to hear him preaching tonight, and I feel like preaching. I'm telling you, man, we do not have to live a life of sin. Yes, a dethroned king may still speak. Can I say it this way? I don't mean no disrespect. I'm just going to say it. Joe Biden may still speak, but he's no longer the president. There's a new president now. And can I tell you something? Sin may still stick its head up in my life, but it does not have dominion over me. Christ now has dominion over me. And if I'll yield myself to Christ, sin will not reign in my life. To achieve victory over sin, we must stop listening to a dethroned master. Christ is the king now. Live in victory, not defeat. There's the deliverance from the dominion. But watch this. Verse 11 through 13, there's the direction to devote ourselves. There is the direction to devote ourselves. Let's read it. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon. That's a good word right there. I don't know if you know anything about that word. If you do anything with finances, you know something about that word. He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. But we're not just dead. Watch this. But alive. Well, alive in what? Alive unto God. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The reason we're alive in God today is because the grace of God sent Jesus Christ our Lord to die for our sins. Watch this. Let me read on verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither, here it is, yield. Y'all know what that is? Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. There is the direction that we are to devote ourselves now. Now that we are dead to sin. Now that we understand that grace may abound. Thank God for grace. And that we have died to sin. Now where do we go? Now what do we do? Now how do we act? Well, he tells us. Watch this. The word reckon is an accounting term. And here's what it means. Consider it settled. Just very simple. There's numerous meanings, but very simple. It means this. To consider it settled. What does he say? Likewise, consider it settled yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. When sin pokes its head up, if you'll reckon yourself dead to it, you'll not commit it. Considered it settled. When temptation comes up, well, it's already settled. I can't do that because I'm a new man and I'm yielding myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, you make that sound so simple. It is. A victorious Christian life is not something hard to figure out. It's all right here in Romans 6. You're dead to sin. If you sin, it's because you want to sin. You got the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Considered it settled, man. Well, preacher, you know, this thought went through my mind today, and I contemplated on it. You didn't reckon yourself dead. When a thought comes in our mind, it goes through our mind and exits our mind, because why? We're dead to that. Hey, look, a king may still talk, but if he's dethroned, he can't do nothing. Sin may still come knocking at your door. Lust may still come knock. Let me back up and rephrase it. It will. But church, I wish you'd hear me tonight. If you'll reckon yourself, consider it settled. I'm dead to that. I'm just dead to that. Paul shifts to an action now. Now that you have considered it settled, you have reckoned it dead, he says, yield yourself to God. Stop offering your body to sin and start offering it to righteousness. So, preacher, I don't offer my body to sin. Well, when we sin, we do. We do. You say, well, you know, preacher, it was just this little thing. Really, in the eyes of God, sin. Sin. Now, I understand there's a few things that he says is an abomination, but sin in the eyes of God. We do not have to yield ourselves to that. We can yield it to God. I thought about this, since your hands, feet, eyes, and mouth belong to God, how should they behave? How should our hands behave? How should our mouth behave? How should our feet behave? Can I say this? How should our ears behave? What should we allow in to the temple of God? If we're going to reckon ourselves dead, we must yield it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. Surrender or yielding is a daily thing, not a one-time thing. Salvation is a one-time thing. Somebody give me a witness right there. But surrendering and yielding myself to the will of God and the things of God is a daily action that I have to do. Brother Jonathan Bass was doing devotions the other morning at the sheriff's office, and here's what he said. He said, every morning I wake up, I pray God get in my mind first before I do. God get in my mind first before I do. You know what he was saying? He was saying this, every morning I yield myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that he died daily. That he died daily. Surrendering to the will of God and yielding yourself to the things of God. It's a daily thing that you'll have to do. It never stops until the Lord Jesus comes back and takes us home to be with Him, whether that's by the way of the grave or by the way of the sky, whichever way it is. Until then, it's a daily battle that we're going to have. If time would permit us, we would go to Romans 7. And you know what Paul said? Paul said in Romans 7, I'm going to confuse you if you've never read Romans 7, but if you have, I'm not. That which I would do, I do not, and that which I would not, that I do. You say, what? Here's what he says. Just bring it right down here where we can understand it. I know what I'm not supposed to do, but I find myself doing it. And I know what I'm supposed to do, and I find myself not doing it. You ever been there before? You ever done something, smacked yourself in the back of the head and said, why'd you do that? You knew better than to do that. Why did you say that? You knew better than to say that. Romans 7, Paul battled it himself. What did he say? He says, and again, I'm not quoting it verbatim. He said, I find a war in myself. I find a war going on. What is the war? It's the old man and the new man. And he simply says, just in simple terms, the one I feed the most is the one that's going to win. It's the one that's going to win. I've used this illustration before, but I'll give it to you again real quick, and then I'll give you these last couple things and we'll go home. If we decided that 2 months from now, on Wednesday night, we're to meet down at the volleyball court, and we're going to draw a circle in the volleyball court, and me and Jacob back there, we're going to have UFC Unleashed down on the volleyball court. Are you with me? We've got a circle. Well, Jacob, for the next 2 months, don't do nothing. Sits around, eats everything he wants to, don't go to the gym, don't train, don't do nothing. You know what? He's going to come down there. He's going to be out of shape. He ain't going to be ready. But let's say old John, do you really think I'm going to give an illustration with John getting beat? Let's say old John for 2 weeks or for 2 months, Brother Justin, goes to the gym every day. He hires an instructor and a trainer. He eats right. He does everything he's supposed to do. He trains every way he's supposed to. You know what's going to happen that day? It don't matter how big he is, old John's going to take care of him. And the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Let me tell you the reason why. Because I've trained myself for the battle. Can I just say something to you? There's two people living inside of you now that you're saved. There's an old man and a new man. And the one you train the most is the one that'll win the battle. The one you train the most. Me and Brother Justin was talking about this today. When you study the armor of God, everything is defensive with the exception of one thing. We've got one offensive piece in the armor of God. You know what it is? The Word of God. That's what it is tonight. I said this the other night, and I had some people look at me cross-eyed, so I'll say it again. Maybe you'll uncross your eyes. Jesus didn't pray his way out of temptation. He quoted the scripture and got out of temptation. And I'm going to tell you something. I said this the other night, and I'll say it again, and I'll preach it to the day I die. We're missing it on scripture memorization. I'm telling you, I remember in proteins when I was growing up, Keith and Sarah Bowles, we learned scripture and learned scripture and learned scripture. I remember going to school, man, we quoted scripture and quoted scripture and quoted scripture and quoted scripture. I'm telling you tonight, you better get in the Word of God and train yourself in the Word of God. That's the way. It's the man you feed the most that's going to win. The directive to devote ourselves. What is it? Here's what it is. That we yield ourselves to Christ. Look at verse 14 and 15. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. You might want to underline that verse and write, hallelujah, praise God, amen, surely got a Honda beside of it. Verse 15. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Again, he says, God forbid. The difference grace makes in verse 14 and 15. Being under grace means freedom, not indulgent. God teaches and empowers us to say no to sin. Titus chapter number 2 deals with that. Law commands but cannot empower. But grace both instructs and enables. Sin shall not have dominion over you. If sin has dominion over you, you probably need to memorize that. Sin shall not have dominion over you. If it does, it's because you yielded yourself to it. Are you? The devil didn't make you do it. You done it yourself. Number 6, verse 16 through 23. Let's close the chapter. You want to? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants are ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Let me just say this. Ever since Genesis chapter number 3, there's been a free will of mankind. And you still have a free will today. Look in verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. And I'm going to stop reading right there for the sake of time. There's the description of two destinies that's given right here. Everyone serves someone. It's sin or righteousness. Every person, are you hearing me? Every person serves someone. It's either sin or it's righteousness. Slavery to sin ends with death. Service to God brings life and fruit. Sin pays a wage at death. God gives a gift. It's life. Are you working for sin's wages or living for God's gift? Here's what you have to do tonight. You have to choose a master. You have to choose a master. Every day of your life, you have to choose a master. Every day. Paul talks about dying daily. He talks about buffeting himself, bringing himself under subjection. I remember, Miss Tanya's going to come start playing softly, but I remember listening to Brother Lester Roloff years ago, and he used to say this. He said, every once in a while, I'll get up in the mornings, and I'll take a cold shower. And the reason I do that, it's just to show myself that you're not the boss of you. And I'm just going to be real honest. I'm probably not going to take a cold shower tonight. Unless the hot water heater goes out. And if it does, I'm going to call Brother Mark and we're going to put one in before I take a shower. But you know what he was saying? He was saying this. I'm showing myself you don't belong to you. You belong to Christ. You know what? You know what fasting is tonight? It's submitting yourself to Christ. It's showing yourself It's sacrifice. That's what it is. It's showing yourself you don't have dominion over you. I'm not over me tonight. I don't run me tonight. You don't run me tonight, and I don't run you tonight. Let me tell you who it is. If we're living the life we're supposed to live, Christ runs us. I don't control my mouth tonight. Christ controls my mouth. I don't control my thoughts tonight. Christ controls my thoughts. I don't control what goes in my ears. Christ controls what goes in my ears. I don't control where my hands go. Christ controls where. I'm dead to me. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. When we look at what He did for us, we look at the price He paid for us. You know what He was saying? Here's what He's saying. I paid the price so you don't have to live a bondage of sin. I took the bondage of sin. I paid the payment for sin. You do not have to live a life of sin. Dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Dead to sin. I could preach an hour, but alive in Christ. It's up to us what we do. It's up to us. I want to ask you a question tonight. What part, we was talking about yielding. I'll give you this in closing. We was talking about yielding. We yield our members to God instead of unrighteousness. What part of your life is not yielded to Christ? What part of your life is not yielded to Christ? May we find ourselves tonight saying, God, show me what area of my life is not yielded to You. And then God, help me to yield it to You. It's up to us. You know what sin is tonight? It's bondage. That's all it is. It's bondage. Salvation and the grace of God is freedom tonight. I'm not interested. You interested in living in bondage? Why would I live in bondage when I can live free? Why would I go to Snow Street tonight and walk in and tell the sergeant that's working at the jail tonight? Or why would I call Chief Holyfield at the end of service, Brother Justin, and say, hey, can you meet me over at Snow Street? I want to spend a few days in jail. I want to go in there, and I want to, hey, we got a nice one in the county now, but I'm not interested. I got locked in it. Me and Madeline did while they was building it. She just had to see the medical room, and we went in there, and that little piece of cardboard fell out the door, and none of the intercoms worked. The phones didn't work in there. You can beat and bang all you want to. And I can go ahead and tell you, they don't nobody hear you. About an hour went by and a guy walked by. I was a-beating on the door and he turned around and looked at me and he said, can I help you? And I said, yeah, I want out. He said, how'd you get in there? I said, her. Had an Eve moment. I said, her. He said, well, I don't have no key. I said, there's a man walking around here somewhere. His name's Randy Shelton. He's got a key. Go find him. I believe it was another hour before he came back, and Randy walked up to the door and said, how'd you get in there? I said, her. He said, well, I'll see if I can find the key. I said, you got one. He opened the door and let me out. Why would I go over there tonight and say, hey, lock me up for 3 or 4 days when I'm a free man? I'm free right now. Why would I go to sin and say, hey, lock me up? Lock me up, sin. Put me in. Hey, look, friend, I don't have to, Hoss. I'm free in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm yielding myself to Him. He has given me freedom from that. I died to the old man July the 20th, 1994. Thank God I died to the old man and I raised a new man in the Lord Jesus Christ. And ever since then, I can reckon, consider it already settled. I can reckon myself dead to that and alive in the Lord Jesus Christ.